Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Here we have the account of a deaf and dumb man healed in the Decapolis region. This miracle, by the way, is only recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 7 and verse 31. And again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephrata, that is, be open. Immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb or mute to speak. Some background notes. Remember, the region of Tyre and Sidon here is about 40 to 50 miles northwest of the Sea of Galilee. This is where the Syrophoenician woman's daughter was healed. Now the Lord is coming back, but instead of coming straight back to Capernaum, he skirts that whole area and comes to the region of the Decapolis, which is on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee. He probably bypassed Capernaum and the western side of the Sea of Galilee in order to avoid further conflict with the Pharisees at this time. Now, the region of the Decapolis was so named because of 10 Greek cities that were in that region. That's what the name Decapolis means, 10 cities. This is the area, you might remember, where the demon-possessed man of Mark chapter 5 lived. Remember the man from Gadara, from whom the Lord cast out a legion of demons and permitted them to go into the pigs who ran down and were drowned in the Sea of Galilee? This is that area. In verse 32, the impediment of speech that this man has is either a physical deformity or it's because he's deaf. He's never learned to reproduce sounds clearly. Verse 33, most likely the reason the Lord put his fingers into the man's ears and put spit on his tongue was to indicate to the man that he, the Lord, was going to heal him. After all, the man could not hear. So if the Lord had said, I'm going to heal you, of course the man would not hear. So the Lord is kind of using a sign language to this man, indicating that he's going to heal him. And now there was a responsibility on the man's part to show faith and believe and respond in faith that the Lord would heal him. These signs then would encourage this man's faith. Incidentally, a rabbi or teacher placing spit on a person's tongue in that day would not be considered gross as it would today. You remember in Mark chapter 8, we'll see there that the Lord took spit and placed it on a man's eyes. Also, the blind man in John chapter 9, the Lord took his spit and mixed it with clay and placed it on the man's eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Not considered a gross thing, particularly when one who is considered a rabbi or teacher is doing it. In verse 34, Ephrata, that's the Aramaic expression for be opened. In the previous miracle, where we saw the Syrophoenician woman's daughter healed, the Lord probably spoke Greek to her. Now we see he's speaking Aramaic. Most likely, the Lord Jesus was trilingual. He could speak Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. Verse 36, once again, we see the Lord, as he did so often, telling the people not to spread the news about the miracle. Why did the Lord do this? The Lord did not want people crowding to him just because he did miracles. But once again, like we see so often, the people spread the word. They let it be known. Probably they went to their friends, hey, don't tell anyone, but let me tell you what I saw yesterday. Something like that. I wonder if we'd do the same. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move then to our doctrinal points from this miracle. Doctrinal point number one, spiritual deafness and dumbness go together. Spiritual deafness and dumbness go together. Defective hearing and defective speaking often go together physically, because when you can't hear, you never learn to speak properly. You never learn to pronounce words correctly. Well, the same is true spiritually speaking. And certainly this is the meaning of this miracle. We're not just making up a Sunday school lesson here and trying to force it into the miracle. Spiritual deafness and dumbness go together. No, it's meant to be. That's the meaning of this miracle. Like all the miracles of the Lord Jesus, this miracle has meaning associated with it. There's teaching built right into it. And the meaning of this miracle is spiritual deafness and dumbness go together. This was true of the nation Israel. The Lord Jesus came preaching the word of God, announcing that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But Israel could not hear, and they could not speak plainly, spiritually speaking. They twisted and misinterpreted the scripture. They were spiritually deaf and dumb. The same is true of every unbeliever, then and now. If you're not a Christian, you're spiritually deaf and dumb. Oh, there may be a lot of religious talk, a lot of God talk, but you don't speak plainly if you don't know the Lord. You're spiritually deaf and dumb. Did you ever read the writings of a liberal theologian who doesn't know the Lord? The writing is spiritually unintelligible because they refuse to believe. Their spiritual ears are closed and they cannot speak plainly. You know, I think there's a lesson here for Christians as well. If we don't read God's word and open our ears to hear, we will not speak plainly. We will not rightly divide the word of truth. We will not communicate the word of God properly. Spiritual deafness and dumbness go together. The good news here, of course, is that the man was healed. His ears were open. His tongue was unloosed. You know, there's coming a day when a sizable portion of the nation of Israel will have their spiritual ears open and their spiritual tongue unloosed. Read Romans chapter 11 in this connection. In that coming day, they will speak plainly the word of the Lord. The good news also is that any unbeliever today can be healed of spiritual deafness and dumbness by turning to Christ in faith. You know, is it possible that you're here this morning and you're spiritually deaf and dumb? I mean, you've been religious and going through all the motions and God talk and all this, but you've never really turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as your personal Savior. You can have your spiritual ears open, your spiritual tongue unloosed this morning as you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord is tender in the way he deals with people. The Lord is tender in the way he deals with people. We know from the Bible that God is gracious in the way he deals with people. We know from the Bible that God is merciful in the way he deals with people. We know from the Bible that God is loving in the way he deals with people. We know from the Bible that God is caring when he deals with people. Did you know that the Bible certainly teaches that God is tender when he deals with people? I think we see that certainly illustrated here, shown in this miracle. Look once again at verse 33. He took him aside from the multitude. Why aside from the multitude? Probably to avoid embarrassment, away from the gawkers. And gives him signs. As we said before, he puts his finger in his ears, puts spit on his tongue. He's giving this man signs that he's going to heal him. Kind of like a doctor or dentist explaining every step to you. Don't you like to have a doctor or dentist who does that? Now, this is not going to hurt. I'm just going to put this little needle of Novocaine in your gum or something like that. It's a tender approach. You know, I think we see two prophecies being fulfilled here, at least partially fulfilled here in this miracle. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, we read this about the coming Messiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. We also have another prophecy being fulfilled here, the tenderness of the Lord. In Isaiah 42, a prophecy about the perfect servant. I think we see his tenderness here. Isaiah 42, verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. I love that scripture because my name is Reed. A bruised reed he will not break. But I think you get the picture. It's the tenderness of the Lord that's in view. You ever see the burning, smoldering ember on a candle where the flame has been extinguished? But you still have that little burning ember. You know how tender you have to be if you're going to coax that back into flame? Very delicate. I think that's the idea here. Smoking flax, he will not quench. The Lord is tender. Now, I can think of times in the past when I was struggling in the faith, and I can remember how the Lord was so tender. He brought the right people along at the right time. I'm sure you can remember those times in your own life as well. The Lord is tender in the way he deals with people. Practical application. Let's put our practical application here in a question form. Can you say he has done all things well? Can you say he has done all things well? Look at verse 37 once again. The people were saying, he has done all things well. That certainly is what we all should be able to say. Maybe you're unable to say that right now. Oh, you know you're a Christian and you're thankful for that, but you don't like the way the Lord has let life come along your way, the way he's let life happen to you. You're bitter because the Lord let something or someone be taken from you. You're disappointed because your job or location or even marriage didn't work out exactly the way you thought it would. Are you blaming the Lord for something, or can you say with all your heart, even now, he has done all things well? Even the little things, like the coffee not being ready because something didn't go right with the automatic timer, or spilling coffee on your suit that just came from the cleaners. Can we say through all of that, he has done all things well? We'll say it in heaven, even in reference to the discipline that the Lord brought into our lives. Why not say it now? He has done all things well. Practical application number two. Your lone testimony can change a whole community. Your lone testimony can change a whole community. Now, where do we see that lesson? Well, if you go back to chapter 5, where you had the demon-possessed man healed, he came, as we said, from the area of the Decapolis. Let's read Mark chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Then they, that is the people of the Decapolis region, began to plead with him to depart out of their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. The man obeyed, and he's been successful in his testimony. The attitude of the people has changed. Before, they asked him to leave. Now, when he arrives in the same area, verse 32, they bring to him one who is deaf and dumb. And here in verse 37, they're saying, he has done all things well. What a change. How come? It's the lone testimony of that man. This was a Gentile area. And yet his lone testimony was able to change the attitude of a whole community. Your lone testimony can change a whole community. By community, we could refer to the community of a campus. If you're a student, the community of your department at work, the community where you live in your neighborhood. Your lone testimony can change a whole community.